This is the Home Health Revealed podcast. Hear stories from real industry leaders discussing topics affecting the ever-changing industries of home health, hospice, and palliative care. Today, we are thrilled to have expert guest Jay Hill with us to explore the critical differences between traditional consulting and result-driven approaches to consulting. We will dive into the importance of implementation in consulting, how to ask the right questions when hiring consultants, and resulting versus consulting philosophy. Plus, we'll discuss tailoring solutions for unique agency needs and integrating RCM analytics for a comprehensive view of organizational health. Stay tuned for insights that could save your agency time, money, and frustration. Let's get started.
I am your host, Mike Greenlee, and like always, I have the great Hannah Vale. Hannah, what's happening?
Hey, well, it's Jersey Day today. I'm going to the Guardians game tonight, so I'm ready to do this podcast and see some baseball.
You know, when you say the Guardians, it's really
it's kind of a bummer. It's really the Indians. Yeah. They'll always be the tribe to me, but hey.
Yeah, I just watched Major League the other day on Netflix. I love that movie.
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah. Vaughn. You know, Wild Thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? I mean, that's a classic movie. What's your favorite movie of all time?
Mine is A Princess Bride.
Oh my goodness. All right. Let's go to Jay. Jay, give me a better movie than that.
River Runs Through It, definitely.
Okay. All right. I thought you were going to say The Notebook, and I was about to end this podcast right now. Hey, we've got a great podcast. There's been a lot of agencies that, you know, we've talked to that, you know, there's a lot of things coming down the pipe. As you guys know, there's a lot of things that are happening around businesses today that are causing, you know, all businesses, but you know, we're talking about agencies here, to look at ways to really tighten up operations. And to become more, you know, financial stable. And so we're seeing an increase in agencies looking for consultants to come in and advise them in areas of their business that they can make some changes, right? But far too many times, in my experience, what I see is I see consultants coming in that may or may not have the expertise in those particular areas. These agencies are signing some pretty significant deals in terms of the cost to have these companies come in. And without asking the right questions up front, they're stunned when at the end of the day, they're just left a pamphlet. And so, you know, Jay, you and I have been talking for quite some time on the importance of doing consulting the right way. And I'm not saying that every company does this, but consulting without implementation, to me, is a waste of money.
Agree.
Because not only are you looking for what do we need to be doing, that's one area of consulting, but the other area often missed is help us implement it, right? And that can be through, you know, a 3-month, a 6-month, a 12-month, 36-month, whatever it is, whatever many challenges, right? And what they're wanting to solve, but they're not asking the right questions. And I'm not sure that they understand what the expectation is. And I'm not sure the consultants really understand the business to some degree of what their business is. I'm not saying the business in general, just their business. So anyway, I want to talk about consulting. I want to say, okay, listen, if you're in the market and you've thought about hiring somebody outside of your office to come in and consult with you, you know, the goal here today is what do they need to be doing? What questions do they need to be asking? What should they be looking for? Because they don't need to be spending money that they don't need to be spending money on. And if you're going to spend money, you want to make sure you're getting what you thought you'd be getting. I call it mystification, you know? It's the thought of I'm going to get this when in reality you get this. Okay. So I want to really address the misconceptions in the marketplace today. And I want to help agencies save money or make the right choices. That's the goal. So with that, Hannah, I think we probably should introduce our speaker so people know his talent and his skill sets.
So we're really excited to have Jay with us today. And just to give you a little background, Jay is a proven leader with more than 15 years of management experience in multiple organizations across several industries, actually. So healthcare, technology, even logistics. He started his career in IT. He worked for a regional consulting firm in Memphis, Tennessee. Then after getting his MBA, he transitioned to a manager of finance role for FedEx. In 2015, Jay moved to Kansas City to work in mergers and acquisitions for Sprint. He spent most of the last 5 years working in various capacities, both as a consultant and as a C-level executive for companies in the healthcare industry. Jay is a super strong proponent of data-driven solutions. He is adept at both financial analysis and implementing process improvements. Aside from all of those accomplishments, he is a dad to two daughters, and he currently lives in Dallas, Texas. We're excited to have him on Home Health Revealed today. Welcome, Jay.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you having me here.
And, you know, you've got two daughters. I have three daughters, so I feel your pain. A good pain. It's a good pain. It's a prayerful pain. We should be praying for each other because daughters, they love their fathers, and fathers are weak around their daughters. And you hear kind of the opening of a little bit of my frustration with consulting. I'd like to get your perspective of what you've seen, what you've experienced, and why you're so passionate about getting into this space.
Absolutely. And I liken it to when you make the call to a consultant, it's sort of like you've already smelled smoke. You know there is a fire somewhere. And so you call the fire department, or you go out and engage a consultant. And a lot of consultants, they come and they show up in the fire trucks and all the bells and whistles and everything. And they tell you, yes, there's a fire. And that's where they stop. And so if you have a fire at your house and you call the firemen, you want them to come in and help put out the fire. Like, you knew there was something going on when you smelled smoke and made the initial call. A lot of consultants, like to your point, they leave a pamphlet, or they come in and they go, yes, there's a fire here. And what you're really looking for is somebody to roll up their sleeves and help you put out that fire. That to me is where kind of my passion is I've seen it both as a consultant on the other side of the desk, and as a company in need of consulting on that side of the desk, where when you engage someone to come and help, you spend the money for them to come and help. And at the end of the day, you're left with a further clarification of what the issue was. And you kind of knew that on the beginning. You kind of knew there was an issue, but for somebody to elucidate it even further doesn't help you solve it even one bit. And so when we talk about this a little more, we'll kind of get into the concept of resulting versus consulting. Like, we want to deliver results. We want to help roll up our sleeves and help solve the problem that had you looking for a consultant in the first place. So,
gosh, that's so true, Jay. Agencies do know when they're having trouble, right? They may even know what's causing the trouble, but it's the action plan that's missing in so many cases.
Yeah. So, Jay, you mentioned resulting. But you talked about your approach of resulting versus consulting philosophy, meaning we just don't give advice, we implement, execute alongside the team. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, I mean, it's, and I'm not sure where I heard the term, like I don't own the term, but it really is like when you have a consultant come in and they spend weeks, sometimes months, talking to the team and identifying every facet of the problem with sort of this laser focus on what's going wrong. While that's helpful, a lot of that is already known stuff. So it is not results focused. It's almost focused on like further identifying the problem. And what you really want when you first reach out is results. You want to fix the problem. So further identifying the problem is almost counterintuitive in some ways. You have to know what you're aiming at before you pull the trigger. So there's definitely a sense of that, but you also want to know what's the plan for fixing this. And a lot of times, what's the plan for making sure it doesn't happen again. And so results are what people want when they hire a consultant. A lot of times when a consultant comes in, that's like the last thing they deliver. And so what I wanted to do is make it more action oriented, like resulting. Let's get results instead of just do the traditional form of consulting.
Yeah, you know, I've talked to some agencies that have hired, you know, firms from the outside coming in, and what I've been told more times than I like to hear is simply that they can help identify the issue. The agency's kind of already on top of that issue, but they don't know the business deep enough to say, okay, here's specifically how I have to fix it. So it's almost like it's surface level consulting.
Yeah.
Right. Like, hey, here's your problem. Great. I kind of already knew that, but exactly. I need somebody to get more in the weeds with me to say, okay, listen, if I've got a productivity problem, give me some numbers that I need to be able to use to implement, to start measuring those challenges. Right. And if there's a problem, typically, especially in the healthcare industry, you know, we like to look at things in really three different divisions: operations, financial, and clinical. And I will tell you, all three always tie into each other. When you make a change or you find a challenge, let's say in the operation side of things. You have to remember that it could potentially also affect financial and clinical. So you can't
more often
just
than not, yeah.
Yeah, you just can't look at one. That's the area that's really detrimental, that if you don't look at all three when you're looking at, you know, consulting, how does that affect all three? I think you're missing the boat.
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. So thinking about that, no two agencies are alike. When you walk in as a consultant, I'm sure you're looking at the assets they have, the processes, the people, right? Human capital that's already there. Can you walk us through your approach when you go in to develop tailored solutions for organizations, given that no two really are alike?
Oh, that's a great question. And it really, I think one of the difference makers is listening. You have to ask lots of questions and listen. And the questions are sort of around the five W's, like what is it, like where did we smell smoke, to continue that analogy? What is it we think could be the cause? Where are we looking to maybe improve a process? And then a lot of times, why? Like I keep asking why over and over again. And so in order to get to that tailored approach, it's asking those questions kind of around the five W's, you know, who, what, when, where, why, with why a lot of times being the most important question. And then really listening, taking a lot of notes, and then asking follow-up questions. And so in order to develop that tailored solution, you have to listen. You have to ask questions in order to listen to answers. And then, like, to your point, no two agencies are alike. So the difference is what worked in one place may be helpful in identifying a solution for another place, but it has to be customized to the different circumstances at each individual agency. So. Great question.
I know how strongly you feel about helping agencies make solid decisions and utilizing technology and analytics. I mean, you have a great mix of a background. So a question I have is, how do you integrate RCM analytics? Because that's a driver of the business. When you're talking about financial management, that's going to drive all the opportunities that you have for improvement, be it technology or, you know, adding staff or looking at how to operationally reconstruct with strategic consulting to give that 360 degree view of an organization's financial health, clinical performance, and operational efficiency. Tell me how you use those analytics to drive that.
That's a great question as well. And the data, so, and we'll change metaphors here a little bit. The data is the scoreboard. So if we're playing football, we want to win the game. Mm-hmm. We want to look at the scoreboard and you want to know where you're at, like what down and distance you're trying to work through. So those data, those KPIs, the things that we can measure are what help us know where we're at in terms of the football game. The goal, and like, so touchdowns, home runs, slam dunks in this, is predictable revenue. We want to get to predictable revenue. And so your question is, how do we integrate RCM into all of this? Is we're trying to get to predictable revenue, because then I can manage not just the operations, definitely the finance piece. And then if I've done a good job at that, the clinical is also has been addressed. So getting to predictable revenue helps me know how to manage my costs. Because if I know what I'm making next month, if I know what I'm making next quarter, if I know what I'm making the next 6 months, even if we run into a challenge like staffing or inflation or just something that's cyclical in the nature of our business, if I know what's coming in, I can control what's going out. And so that's so key, is getting to that predictable revenue piece.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys like to put together puzzles, but you know, those can be very frustrating, right? You're trying to find the border, right? You know, and then, right. Then you work your way in. You know, consulting's a lot like that. And so, Jay, when you and I were talking before, you know, we decided to have you on as a guest for a podcast, you know, you said something that really resonated in under the consulting services, especially within HRP. You know, you're the guy that's going in and you're gathering the information, right? Now, we all know that consultants are not experts in every single area, right?
True.
Now, they can come in, they can help identify. You know, when you told me the benefit of, you know, the services that we are providing is the fact that you have experts in every area of RCM, coding, clinical, financial, you have a team around you. So, you know, one of the misconceptions is that, you know, you bring in a consultant and this is what we see happen. That consultant kind of gives you that border of the puzzle, but right. You're still left to put the pieces in the middle. And where we are totally different and where I'm super excited is that your ability to gather that border, all the information, and then come and slice it to each expert within HRP, you know, so forth from intake and authorizations to if it's, you know, clinical and charts and stuff like that, or if it goes into, you know, the financial of agent AR and what's happening there and payers. And I mean, there's a thousand things, right?
Right.
And together, when you think about the areas of the challenges, a lot of them do go together. And to have the power of a team that's experts in each particular area on your side, coming in and helping you put this puzzle together is a game changer. I mean, it allows us to sit here and paint the picture and then being able to really identify from where the challenges are. Okay, we have to start here. And then within here, then we can progress. So we're building upon each thing that we're implementing and fixing. It's not just we're trying to fix this area, then we're going to go here and fix this area. It's the compound of fixing things together where they better mesh processes, systems, all that stuff, where we're seeing the greater success. It's not just someone coming in, a firm coming in and saying, okay, here's the things you got to do. You have a team of experts around you, and that's changing the game.
Absolutely. I mean, most of the time in football, the team scores after the quarterback throws the ball. It's not the quarterback who scores. It's making that pass to the guy or gal, whomever can get it done for you, because they're the experts. So it's, your point is very valid and well taken. Well said.
Another common issue, and we've been talking about this issue for maybe 18, 24 months, is staffing, especially when you have consultants come in and you may get some pushback from your team, or you'll have some old habits lurking around in your organization, right? I mean, people hate change. Change is very tough for some people, right? I mean, I just met with our team yesterday and I told our team, you have to be being comfortable being uncomfortable. You got to get used to being uncomfortable. We're constantly in a position where a lot of agencies, you know, we have to pivot, right? We have to change. We have to continue to innovate. One of the topics that we've been talking about really for the past 18 to 24 months, it could be longer than that, but is the challenge with staffing. I mean, it's still there. It's still real. Can you explain your approach to how you handle the staffing analysis? What calculators have you developed and how does that contribute to your overall operational efficiency?
I have a variable staffing model that I've used, built back when I was working for FedEx. So it has sort of migrated from industry to industry, but it's a 57 and a half model is what I call it, because it's focused on managing the total cost of deploying an employee and maintaining an overall cost of around 57 and a half, a margin of around 42.5%. But in this staffing model, and a lot of times that's not realistic, but that is the goal we're trying to get to, because across multiple industries, that's sort of the cost to deploy an employee when it's optimized. Some of the pros is it allows us to fit our workforce to the work available, and it avoids underutilization and wastage. Some of the cons is it's hard to figure out how to bring in temporary workers when you have such a robust model. But what I want to always do is align the staff to the strategy. I want to make sure that I'm forecasting the workforce requirements with the workforce available. And since staffing has been such an issue, like if you look at the data over the rest of this decade, there's going to be a doctor shortage of 100,000. There's going to be a nursing shortage of 200,000. So like staffing is everywhere going to be a challenge. So one of the things we want to do is definitely optimize resource allocation, make sure that we're getting everything we can from a scheduling perspective and a deployment perspective from the staff that we have available, and then manage staff costs, because a lot of times the propensity is, hey, when there's a staffing shortage, we tend to go out and overpay to acquire additional staffing without having looked at our model to go exactly what did we need to get there. And so what it allows us also to do is enhance performance, not just we don't always want to be thinking bottom line, but as a finance person, we do want to be cognizant of what we're doing to the bottom line. So we want to make sure we're deploying that staff in an efficient way and in such a way where the cost to deploy is definitely being managed. We want to retain employees, because the other thing that happens is sometimes when there's a staffing shortage, we tend to overwork certain individuals and underwork others. And a lot of times they'll attrit for either of those reasons. And so you mentioned change. We definitely want to adapt to change, because what's working one month may not work the next month. So I actually have my staffing model broken out into a week by week, not just payroll cycle to payroll cycle, but week by week how we're deploying the staff that we have. So, and that allows us to scale faster. Like if we know, hey, someone's going to be out or someone's coming on board, or we've got a new patient situation, we can definitely scale much faster because we're doing it week to week.
When you tie it to home health, hospice, and so forth, you know, we're in the business of offering services, right? And so right. We have to be excellent at managing capacity, staffing, right? When we look and talking with agencies, it comes down to, you know, productivity. And a lot of them don't have the tools to really measure productivity. So if we take, let's say, a reviewer, someone that's in-house, they're reviewing your charts. The agency's got to be able to know, number one, how many charts can they do in a day? More importantly, they got to know how long is it taking them on average to complete a chart, whatever type of chart they're completing, if it's coding or they're doing a complete review, because then you back into the numbers. Then you look and say, okay, if I have so many charts that need to be reviewed, right? You easily take that by how many days are in the month, you know, working days, typically 21, 22 days. And right. You can come up with how many charts, you know, you're doing in a month. Then you take it minus how many charts your team can do. And now you know your productivity. Now, but then you still have to dive a little bit deeper and look at if you have multiple QA people internally, you know, what is each person's statistics? You know, who's right. doing what? How many are they doing? What's their average time that it takes to do that? All those calculations have to be done if you really truly want to manage, you know, your clinical staff, your internal QA clinical staff. Now on the RCM side, it really comes down to how many claims can somebody work in a day? And you've got to be able to measure that side by side of how many RCM people that you have, how much volume you have coming in. Because ideally, if you have the right team, they're trained, they're qualified, they're doing their job, you have processes, you have KPIs in place, you really shouldn't have many claims past 120, 150 days. But yet we still see AR consistently well over 120 days, sometimes 40, 50% of their aging AR is continuing to age. And immediately that screams smoke, right? There's a fire right there. So you've done some great analysis there. We've got great calculators there to really help agencies understand how do I need to be staffed? What KPIs can I be using to measure my team? But they have to have the technology for that as well to be able to do that, because you're not going to do it on spreadsheets. So Jay, you also mentioned that you have experience in the M&A market. And, yes. You know, I don't want to just kind of breeze over that, because here's the important thing about that experience is that a lot of agencies or a lot of businesses in general, right? They're either looking to grow and scale or they're looking to be positioned to be acquired. That if someone called them today, they could either get the capital they want to acquire, or they could be able to provide all the data and analytics that a company would want to be acquired. So tell us a little bit about that experience and why that plays a super important role in the consulting of what you do.
It comes back to predictable revenue, really. If you are looking to acquire another entity and you cannot answer the question definitively that you have predictable revenue, you're probably not going to be able to get the capital you want to acquire that entity. Vice versa, if you're looking to be acquired and you don't have predictable revenue or financial results that you're comfortable in, they're going to measure that acquisition off of EBITDA. If anybody we're talking to doesn't have the ability to answer either of those questions very confidently, like, yes, I have predictable revenue, or yes, I understand what my EBITDA is, then they're not ready to play in the M&A space, either as a buyer or a seller. And so kind of like we saw in the banking and logistics industries over the past decade, healthcare is kind of prime for consolidation via mergers and acquisitions right now, what we used to call leverage buyouts. And so companies should be ready at every moment to either buy or sell, which means keeping their financial statements clean. We'll talk more about this probably as we go along, but this is why I say it comes right back to knowing your operations, knowing your costs, knowing the weakness, opportunities, and threats. And that's what a consultant is going to come in and look at first. The difference with us at HealthRev is we're not just going to come in and identify where there are gaps in those spaces. We're going to put together a plan that helps you get ready for wherever the agency sees themselves in the M&A space.
Yeah. What part does a balance sheet and an agency's P&L come into play?
So the balance sheet is... you always hear the phrase, beat up the balance sheet. The balance sheet is a place where you cannot hide anything anymore. So a lot of companies have been very P&L focused and quarter over quarter sort of metrics. But the balance sheet is where everything kind of, that's where the the bodies are buried, to use the analogy. So back to your point about AR, if AR is aging, if it's not turning quickly enough, we can see that days in receivables is not what it should be. And that's a simple calculation you get from looking at the balance sheet. We can also monitor cash over a 12-month period and see if it's fluctuating quite a bit. Then that tells me there's not predictable revenue. I like to look at, 13 months of balance sheet data to see, how is cash? Is cash pretty steady Eddie, or is it up and down? If it's steady Eddie, then we're probably close to predictable revenue. Is AR growing? Is it kind of ebbing and flowing? Then it means we're not really managing that clean claim rate, and then keeping those things from aging out past 120 and 150 days. Same thing on the liability side of the balance sheet. If I see accounts payable and certain current liabilities sort of growing at different times, then I know there was a little bit of a cash crunch. And some of those things are normal to the cycle of a business. But when you look at it over 13 months, you can see how an agency has really managed those things. And are they managing those things as efficiently as they could? And so that's where we want to plug in and help identify some things and implement some processes around some things that might make that more efficient and smooth to manage going forward.
What is the difference in what you're looking for with a business that's more like plateaued and consistently getting revenue versus a business that's growing and maybe growing pretty rapidly? And so you see that every time, they're hiring, they're having to invest, they're doing all of that. How do you account for that when you look at the balance sheet?
If you see receivables growing but still turning at a pretty good rate, then you're generating more revenue. Same thing with if I'm looking at accrued payroll costs, then I know they're having to add staff to service patients. So a couple of those things are trending up on the balance sheet, tells me that the company's moving in the right direction. If I see them sort of flattening and plateauing, then maybe that is a business that has matured. So then we kind of want to look at some of the other things like how is AR turning? How is our AP items turning? Are we just plateaued and now we're efficient and we're streamlined, but we're not growing? A lot of times, though, if a company has managed to find a set of efficient processes, they're going to grow naturally because the reputation and all the other things that are associated with that tend to make people want to be a part of that business because they know things are running smoothly over there.
How do you measure yourself? How do you measure the success of your consulting engagements? And then what kind of results do you feel like agencies can expect when they work with you or when they work on a company, I guess, that's really focused on results?
When we sit down and we talk about what are the issues, is cash, are we having difficulty managing cash? Do we feel like AR is not turning as quickly as it should? We're not collecting those things. So we'll set the metrics. Do we want to get days in receivables down below 30, or do we want to see it at 35? Where is it now? If it's at 42 now, we want to get it to 35. That's how I measure myself, is what did we agree was the target? And if it's days in receivables at 35 and it's currently 42, then we've scored a touchdown when we get it from 42 to 35. So it's very specific. The planning around that, though, is what things do we need to change? Do we need to focus on getting a better clean claim rate? Do we need to focus on, this or that aspect of managing AR? So it's not just Jay comes in and then everything's better. That's not the scenario at all. It's Jay comes in and asks a lot of questions, and then we point to the people who kind of the quarterback throws the football. We throw the football to the people who can actually help us get these things, improved and make them better and help us get score the touchdowns that we want to score.
So Jay, as we close up today, really what we're trying to persuade or maybe our message to people listening is that, number one, don't be ashamed that you need a consultant. There's actually a lot of wisdom in getting someone outside the company to see it from a different perspective. But before you do, do your research.
Yeah.
And the person may have all the knowledge and skill, but you still need to do a little bit more research and say, okay, what type of team do you have to back you up? Because again, consultants don't know everything. All right. They can give you some really good information, but what agencies really need is not only the information, but then really diving down and saying, okay, here's how we're going to fix it. And here's how we're going to maintain it, so you never have to fix it again. And that's a massive difference. right? And it's ongoing, meaning that we're always here. And the other thing that I want agencies to be very, very cautious of is signing long-term retainers with some of these consultants.
Every dollar right now within an agency has to count. So if you're spending money on a consultant, I have one more analogy for today. This is the one I've been thinking about.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Let's hear it.
I love
it. It's a recipe without the cook. Like they give you the recipe, but there's nobody to cook it. So you have nothing. Like at the end of the day, I don't have any nourishment. I don't have any sustenance. Nothing's actually going to be served on my table. I've got a recipe that does nothing for me. When you have to account for every dollar on that balance sheet, every dollar that's going out, when you're trying to serve not just your staff, but your patients, and you're in a place of leadership, you've got to have wisdom in, first of all, do I need to have a consultant come in? Am I at the point where that next set of eyes is going to give me information that I really cannot figure out on my own? Mm-hmm. Then when I'm looking for a consultant, who is going to be able to stand alongside me in the kitchen with the heat and get this done and see the results that I need? Because I'm accountable to these people and I want to do what's right by my agency. So maybe one last question, Jay, for me is, if I'm an agency owner, what are some telltale signs that hiring a consultant is a good move for me?
I think it comes down to sort of the concept of resulting versus consulting again. Mm-hmm. If you sort of smell smoke, and kind of going back to that analogy, and I do like your recipe without a cook analogy.
Thank you.
It's like if you have the ingredients for chocolate chip cookies and the recipe for chocolate chip cookies, but you don't have anybody to actually bake the cookies, you don't have cookies. Yeah. One of the key indicators that you probably need some outside help is when it feels like, hey, we know something's not right here, and it's the same thing every month, and it's not getting any better. Then probably somebody needs to look at it with a fresh set of eyes and go, hey, what can we do to give you the results you want, which are not those? Like, you're not satisfied with the same old every month. You know, something feels off. You know, it doesn't feel as efficient as it should be. So that's when you want to seek outside help and get somebody who's going to come in and help you change the results that you've been seeing. And you definitely want someone who will listen, because Michael, to your point, like, consultants don't know everything. Their job is really to come in and like ask the questions and then help not just deliver a pamphlet, but deliver an actionable plan and then roll up their sleeves and help you implement the plan to help you bake the chocolate chip cookies. So, and then you definitely want somebody who's passionate about the industry, and you can tell that, you know, pretty quickly. And that's when you get sort of that partner relationship, is somebody who wants to help, somebody who's passionate about the industry, and they, you know, step into the kitchen, help you make chocolate chip cookies. So,
You know, so closing this, I want agencies to have a really clear understanding of what it should look like. And so, you know, I call it compound resulting. You know, I like the resulting. So you say compound consulting, but now I got to say compound resulting. Let me explain what that means. So a consultant should come in. Again, when they're assessing your agency from different aspects, right? Number one, you should know the risk. Okay, so here's the challenge. Here's the solution. Here's the pros and cons to that solution. Here's the return on investment. Here's what you'd have to change as an agency. Maybe here's the training you had to put with your team. So for each challenge that we find, you get all that information. Here's the kicker. More than importantly than all that is, it's the compounding. What I mean by compounding is, if you have 10 challenges, you want to pick the one at the beginning that can compound on the next, that can compound on the next, that can compound on the next. You see what I'm saying? You can't look at, if I got 10 problems, pick the one in the middle, because that if you don't fix the other four, you're not really fixing the fifth one you started with.
That's
where the guidance is needed. It's not let's pick one or two, you know, and fix those. It's, we've got to compound the changes that we're making, because then it flows across the board from financial, clinical, and operational. And you now have the KPIs tied to each specific one. That is where consulting works. If you just have someone come in and they say, here's all your problems, maybe they come in and do some fixing. But if you don't compound it, you're not going to get the results you want. And that's what I want people to understand. So one of the questions, you know, is to give them the ammunition to say, okay, when you find the problems, how do you put them together? Because again, if we're doing the puzzle, you got to start with the border. Then you work your way in, right? I mean, that's how people put together a puzzle, right? No one starts in the middle and works their way out. They start getting the border and they work their way in. Your border, then that's their compounding. And that's exactly how it needs to be done. It's not being done today. They get hired. They sign the contract. They come in. They do, some do good, some do okay. They leave you a pamphlet. You're gone. You're left with a bill. And then if you want to ask questions after that, you probably have a fee that you have to pay to talk to them again.
Yep.
And I will tell you, there's companies out here, and HealthRev is one of them, that we are committed to this industry. We're committed to helping agencies get to where they want to get to. A lot of that is because of services we provide. If an agency is not running well operationally, it really affects the type of services we can offer. That'd be true across the board. That'd be true if you're not outsourcing. If you're not running strong operationally, your team and every other aspect of the business is not going to run the way it needs to run, right?
Agreed.
And we've got to get serious about helping agencies become better at what they're doing, because gosh, they are so important to their community. They do great work. They're great people. And, you know, business is getting more and more complex. There's more regulations and compliance and stuff they have to deal with. You know, you could almost throw up a screen and there could be 1,000 things that if I'm an agency owner, I have to worry about. They need experts like us coming in that care just as much as they do and saying, okay, here's exactly how we're going to fix this. It's going to take some time. And you know, if the cash flow is not there immediately, then we'll piece this thing to where it works for you. We're not just going to throw you a pamphlet and say, hey, good luck. I mean, yeah. Dadgummit, that's got to end. And as you can tell, I get a little frustrated with it because right. It's bad for the industry. It's bad for good consultants that want to do it the right way. It's truly our mission to help agencies position themselves to either be acquired or to scale in minutes moment. That's what we want to do. So Jay, dadgummit, I appreciate you being on here. I just want agencies to know that, listen, if you need help in any particular area, you know, give us a call. It doesn't mean that you got to pay anything. Let's talk about it. Does it even make sense? Or can it be fixed without bringing in a consultant? Because there are times it could be fixed by just a conversation. You don't need to hire somebody. But there's times that you do, right? Because maybe there's just a little bit more going on. But I'm telling you, we love what agencies do. We care about what agencies do. We care about how they serve their community. And we are dedicated to helping them grow and scale 100%. So Jay, thank you so much for being on the call. Really appreciate it.
To our listeners, thanks for being here. As always, you can find us at healthrevpartners.com, or you can reach out to us at connect@healthrevpartners.com.
Until next time, we'll see y'all later.